I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This morning as we were in our Sunday school class, and we're learning about Jonah right now, and chapter 2 really is like a prayer chapter, and when he prayed out of the belly of the whale, as you know, and he prayed because he was in a heap of trouble, as I said this morning. The fact is this, we all need to pray daily. And we need to be sincere in our prayer lives. I tell you each week, you know, you have a prayer list that's in the bulletins. That's for your convenience to help you realize who's here and who's sick and who's out. People who pass away, all these things are there for you to help you. Well, when you start studying John chapter 17, it talks about really a prayer of Jesus known as the Overcomer. And I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it till I die, that Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave to give us an abundant life, a new life, and an eternal life in heaven above one day. The thing is, whether Jesus prayed in the upper room or on the way to Gethsemane or where he was going at this time, because his time was coming that he was going to give his life for mankind, it says that he prayed sincerely. And if you look at this chapter 17, I would list it this way as the Holy of Holies in this prayer, because he began to pray for you and for me. It is a spirit of what I call humility that he shows us, and a spirit of worship in this chapter when we come together. And also to think that we are privileged. Now, don't you listen very carefully. We are privileged to listen to the prayer that Jesus made. And we ought to be thankful that he gave this to us so that we could listen to it, so that we could abide in it, so that we could understand what he was talking about in the relationship that we are to be building together. You see, our life today is caught up in the sin-sick world that we live in. And the thing is this, we have to understand also that Jesus, even though he was incarnate in the flesh, he was a sinless Son of God, as we know, he still had the opportunity, just like all of us, to be tempted by the devil. If you read chapter 4 of Matthew, and I think that most people need to go back and read it sometime, that he was baptized, and the Spirit came upon him, it says, like a dove, and the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It says in chapter 4, verse 1, that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Don't think if the devil is just going to tempt him, he's going to come back and tempt you also. He's going to do everything that he can to pull us away from our Christian walk of life. We've got to get back to loving him with heart, mind, and soul like we never have before. So as I look at this declaration he has given to us, I look at us as his children today. He has given us that great, I'm going to say this word again, privilege to hear what he had to say to his beloved friends, the disciples, and those around him. There are four things I'm going to talk about. There's only two I'm going to give you today and two next Sunday. We want to talk this morning about we show his life and how we live today, and we know his name. Next week we're going to talk about we have his word it talks about, and we also share in his glory in the relationship. So if you'll please stand with me in reverence and read of God's Word, the first 16 verses of this chapter. And I want you to listen very carefully to what Jesus had to say in this text. Verse 1 says this, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his," what? "His eyes," it says, "to heaven. And he said this, 'Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also do what? May be glorified," amen, "in thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast," what? "Gave it to me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me," he says, "and with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And I'm going to stop right there and pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your Son came into this cruel, sin-sick world. We know that he lived for 33 and a half years. And in those 33 and a half years, there were a lot of ups and downs, as we know. But he was able to overcome every obstacle that this world threw at him. And he was able to return to you in heaven because he had glorified your name here on earth. I pray today that we realize the importance of turning our hearts to you every day and seeking you in prayer. and building our lives on that foundation, because the cross is everything. And that's where it all started, when Christ died for us. Boy, the real beginning also, as I can look at it, not just the cross itself, but when He came over that tomb that day and then ascended on high some 40 days later to make intercession for us today. Thank You for a beloved Son, and thank You for what You do. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. If you've never really read chapter 17, I pray maybe you have. You ever think about the life that you share with Jesus Christ? From the day that you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you started to live in a different realm, as we say. You started to live your life to the fullest like you've never lived before, because Christ opened a new door for you. And He was willing to take that step in this world to give us a new life and a new beginning. When Christ came into your life, you know it says that old things have passed away, all things become new. You became that new creature. Well, sometimes I wonder what kind of creatures we really are, because I don't see too many new creatures running around. As a Christian, my friends, we are to be in that mindset of changing every single day to better ourselves in our walk with Jesus Christ. See, our life that we have today is not the same as what the world has. Our life is different. Our life is full of abundance of Jesus Christ. His love should be manifested in your heart, in your life each day, as you live for Him. As Jesus here began to pray, He said, by praying for Himself, but in praying for the disciples, and praying for you, and praying for me, He was lifting us up also, because He knew the turmoils that you and I go through every day. We don't live in a perfect world, you know that. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, I have my faults, you have your faults. We see it everywhere. And the only way that we can ever overcome what's going on around us today is to get our mindset on our prayer life and start to strengthen ourselves through our prayer life. Because prayer is important. Prayer changes things. And sometimes people will tell you, well, I pray all the time, but I don't see any change. Well, my first question would be this. Do you have Christ in your life? We talked this morning about having those foxhole conversions. In time of war, when you're in a foxhole, you'll pray for anything, amen? It's true. Because you're in a situation you don't want to be in. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, Heavenly Father, you know, save me from this and what I'm going through. Well, the thing is, you have to understand, the first prayer that God ever wants to hear from you is, Father, forgive me of my sins. I have sinned against You. And to have that prayer, then God will open up the channel for you to talk to Him through your prayer life. And He will touch you in a mighty way through the Spirit that indwells us. And we need more and more and more of touching God every day through our prayer life. We need to have Him standing right with us every day. And sometimes I think we forget all about Him and just go about our normal everyday tasks and not too concerned about what's happening in our Christian walk of life. How strong are you today in serving the Lord? How strong are you in walking with Him? How strong are you in glorifying His most holy name? Well, as He said in this text this morning, look what He said in verse number 1. Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. How did He glorify the Father? He glorified Him by going to the cross, by accepting the sins of mankind and giving His life totally for you and me. He was willing to do that. And by doing that, He obeyed His Father. He was obedient unto Him, and He glorified Him by what He went through. But it was a cruel thing that He went through from Gethsemane right on down, you know. But the fact is this. He was willing to make the sacrifice so that you and I do not have to suffer a cruel cross ourselves, which you and I deserve more than He did. But He was willing to give so that you may have a life and an abundant life. So when you seek God in prayer, remember this, that we are to also glorify His name while we're here upon this earth. Verse 2 said, Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. I always like to go back to Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, He said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded of you, He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, He said. That's a good saying, isn't it? He's always with us. Every day, every hour, every moment, God walks with us, God talks with us, God shares with us. But how many times do we forget He's over here? How many times do we put Him over here somewhere else and say, Lord, I don't need You right now, I can take care of this myself. Then when you're in trouble, what do? When you're in trouble, the first thing you do, you drop on your face before God and say, Lord, I made a mistake. I can't do this by myself. Have you ever thought about seeking Him first and then going ahead and letting Him direct your path? Things work out a whole lot better when God is in the center of everything that we do. But we talked about this in Sunday school too. As men know it, we are the fix-it people. If it's broke, we're going to try to fix it. And then if it don't work, we're going to kick at it. If that don't work, we're going to cuss it two or three times. Yeah, that's the way we live. That's the way we work sometimes. I understand that. Been there, done that. The fact is this. If God is in the center of what you're doing, no matter what may happen in the situation you're in, He will help you to get through the situation. May not be the way you want it, but He will help you to get through to overcome the obstacles in your life. But you have to put Him first in everything. My power doesn't come from me. Everything that I do through the power of my life, my friends, comes from the power of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that indwells me, that I am able to do what I do in life today. See, we need that power every day. And we need His power upon us. He said, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent is the only one that could do what I do. And then He said this in verse 3, I have glorified. You see that part? He said, I have glorified what? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished. Look at what He said, the work which thou gavest me to do. Now Jesus had finished the work. I mean, He'd done everything that He could do for us in a short time. Well, if you remember old Paul, you remember Paul? Over in the New Testament, he wrote 13 of the epistles. I'd say 14 because Hebrew sounds like it. But as he wrote the epistles, you remember what he told old Timothy? What did he tell him? Fought a good fight. I finished my course, you know. He said, my crown of righteousness is built up for me in heaven. And he said, and all those who believe on the Lord, what did he say? He said, they also will too. You see, when Paul finished his work, he knew he was done. When Jesus finished His work, He knew He was done. Jesus glorified the Father in heaven. Paul glorified the God of heaven. You and I each day should be glorifying His most holy name because He has given us the life that He's given us, that we can lift up His most holy name and live for the way that He wants us to live. Jesus said very plainly in this text, He said, have you ever read the psalmist and listen to what the psalms have to say? Psalm 31:15 says this. Now listen, my times are in thy hand. In other words, he says this, my life is in your hands. Your life is in His hands. My life is in His hands. Jesus said, my time is in your hand because what? When my time comes, you're going to take care of me. You're going to move me where I need to go. Paul knew that when he was talking. He said, you know, my life is in your hand. Have you ever thought about where you are right now? Are you actually living in the palm of His hand like you should? Huh? Do you know that He has got you right here? And nobody can pluck you out of His hand, it says. That He will hold you. And when the devil starts to creep up in there, what does he do? You remember playing King of the Mountain when you were growing up? Or King of the Hill, however you want to call it. Remember that? You had one person on top and everybody else was trying to knock him off. Remember that? See, that's what the devil tries to do. The devil wants to come along and he just wants to take and pluck you off, you know. He wants to get you off the mountain. He wants to get you out of His hands. Let me tell you what. If you're as close to God as you say you are, you'll never have to worry about that because Jesus said this, whoever the Father has put into my hands, no man can take you out of there. Man, that should give you great hope. Should give you great joy for what He's done. And if you pray and seek God, you should ask Him to hold you close every single day. Look at verse 4. I glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Now, can you imagine? In the beginning, there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit, okay? Think about it for just a minute. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, I was here with you in the beginning. When everything was created, I was there. I was part of it. The Spirit was there, He was part of it. And the Father was there, and He was part of it. And He said very plainly to us, He said, look, He said, from the beginning of time till this very, very moment in my life, we've been together. He said, I walk with you. I commune with you. I pray to you. I spend precious hours with you. Jesus did all of these things because He said in that verse here, He said, even before the world was there, I was with you. I've manifested thy name unto the many, say, which thou gavest me out of the world. And who are they? They're the disciples, right? He said, you gave me these men. His 12 disciples, now they're down to about 11, because Judas betrayed him. But even though Judas betrayed him, Jesus continued to pray for the Father's hand to be upon every one of them. If Jesus himself was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed in the upper room, and Jesus prayed when he went into the mountains daily, how much more do you and I need prayer in our lives and to spend time with the Lord? Think about it. How much more do we? Here he was, the sinless Son of God. He's a second person of the Trinity, it talks about. Of the triune God we talk about. If Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity and needs to pray to his Father in heaven, boy, I'm going to tell you what, we better get right with him. And we better start praying like we should and turn our hearts to him like we should. You know, we can say, well, I know Jesus as my Savior. My question is this, how much do you know him? How much time do you spend with him? When was the last time you sat down and read the Bible from front to back? Or when was the time you ever read it? Or when was the time when somebody said, go to chapter so-and-so or such-and-such a book? I always like to listen to preachers on TV on Sunday morning, especially Dr. Merritt, because he always does this, and I like this. He'll say, we're going to go to the book of Acts this morning. I think it's where he was, one of them Acts, I think it was. Then all of a sudden he says, if you don't know where it's at, there's two parts to the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then there's Acts. Okay? He always gives them that scenario. You know why? Because most of them don't even have a book in their hand to look at called the Bible. We've got into what I call a day of too much computer stuff. You know? We like it all on the board. We like a big screen up here to say, okay, that's that, I'm reading this, I'm reading that. Let me tell you what. I don't care how many words I put on the screen somewhere. There's nothing compared to picking up this book and opening up and reading the book itself. Because when I have this book in my hand, I have God's Word in my hand. You see that? It's a difference when you open this book up. And when you seek God in prayer and you're reading the prayers in the Bible that Paul and James and John and all the rest of them prayed, my friends, it gives you an uplift to see if they were willing to pray and seek God. You remember when the disciples went to the Lord? Said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Remember that? I thought Roddy was going to get off on that this morning and take my message away from him, my thunder, but he didn't. I was glad of that. What did he say? He said to them, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be what? Thy name. When's the last time you said that? Father? My Father? Our Father? When I go to him, I say, my Heavenly Father, you know, you're the one. You're the one I'm praying to. Nobody else. You're there for me. Be with me. Help me. Get me through this day. Whatever struggles I have, I leave it in his hands. Because it needs to be in his hands, not mine. Take your burdens to him, he says. Well, I tell you what, if I was to... You remember the book? We talk about this a lot sometimes. How many of y'all ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress? Huh? Okay. How many of you? A couple more? Okay, good. Rest of them don't know what you're missing. You remember the movie we showed on that? Pilgrim's Progress? How many were for the movie? Well, we need to show that again. All of you stayed home, huh? Okay, one, two. You know what it was about? This fella had all these burdens on his back. And in the movie, they showed the burdens. Even in the book, it talks about all these burdens. You know, there they were. And he was carrying them along the road. Boy, he was just weighted down. How many of you have those burdens on your back today? How many of you being weighted down by what the world's throwing at you and you don't know what to do with it? I'll tell you what you do with it. You ask the Lord to come take it off of you and ask him to deliver you from those burdens you have in your life so that you can get up and serve him. That's what it's all about. And as this person went along in the movie, and if you read the book too, you know, when he finally got himself right, what happened? All the burdens were gone and he fell before the Lord and accepted him as his Savior. But he said first, he said, take these off of me. And his whole life changed after that. You see, it takes prayer to change things. And if you're not praying, my friends, you're not changing a whole lot. Because we are to be prayer warriors in this world that we live in today. Verse 7 says this. Well, let's go back to 6. I want to finish something there too. He talked about how he gave us me out of the world. He said this, then, he said, thine they were. and would gave us, he said, than me, and they have what? Kept thy word. Now, when you think about keeping the word, right? That's living by the standards that God has given to us. Keeping the word. Hiding it in my heart. Calling it to remembrance, you know. That's what it's about. Using that word as a light unto my path, you know. He talks about that. And we should be shining out. The Bible says you can't take a candle, put it under a bushel somewhere, and expect to see the light. You got to remove it to see it. How's your candle today? How's your candle burning today? Did y'all see on the news a woman that lit that candle and it was a stick of dynamite? Did you see that? Anybody see that? A lady had all these candles in her basement. She thought they were, but it was dynamite. So she decided she was going to light this candle. But she lost a hand because it blew up. See? Sometimes we don't know where the light is at or what is the right candle to hold in your hand. The only candle that you should be holding in your hand is the candle that Jesus gives to you that will light the world through you. That's what you need more of. People do make mistakes, you know. The fact is, as a Christian, we can overcome those obstacles in our life. And we are able to overcome those obstacles because Christ lives in us, reigns and rules in us, and we live it to the fullest potential He has given to us. Now, as you look at verse 7, He said this, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me," He said, "are of Thee." He said, "Not one thing that I have is from me. It's all from You. It's all from You." God gave him the life that he lived. And Jesus is saying right now in his prayer, he said, "Father, you've given me all. You've given me this life that I have taken on. You have given me this way that I'm going now to help these people, to lead them. And now they know," he said, "all of these things." Verse 8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." How many of y'all believe that Jesus was sent by God the Father? Okay? Half of you, the rest of you don't know where you're at, do you? Let me tell you something this morning. The only way you'll ever know Christ is to understand that God the Father sent him into the world to die for your sins. And the other thing is this. You have to realize if Jesus had not died on that cross of Calvary, went to the tomb, and came out of the tomb, and went back to heaven, my friends, the Comforter would never have come into the world. The Spirit of God would never be in you today as a Christian, and we would have nothing really to live for. Amen. Nothing. So when I pray in the morning, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, for the Spirit that lives in me, for giving me the strength that I need to endure this crazy world that I live in." And it's getting crazier by the minute. But I'm able to pray because nobody's taking that away from me. I was listening to Donna. She was talking this morning. Said that the kids in school, right, they all gathered together and prayed, 25 of them. Bless my heart. They were able to do that. How many times do you see that? I know somewhere in the group there's a critic. You can't do that. You got to separate, what, church and state, right? Let me tell you what. That's the problem we got now. We took away the church and left the state out there. The state can't do anything for us. Only Christ can do that. When did the world start turning around and going the other way? When we took prayer out of school? Amen. Gosh, I remember when I was a little fella in the first grade, boy. First thing that we did when we got there, we learned how to do pledge to the flag, prayer. We used to do the Lord's Prayer a lot. You know, that was a big one that they did for you in school. Because everybody could memorize the Lord's Prayer, right? You were in Sunday school most of the time. I was in there every Sunday, I think, you know, for 15, 16 years. But the fact is this. It helped us to realize who we are, where we are, and what the most important thing in life was. Huh? God and country. God first. Then everything else after that. But we lost the concept of that love. Jesus said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world," he said, "but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine," he says. Now, I wonder why you think about it. I did not pray for what? For the world? He already knew how crazy it was. But he was praying for one thing. He was praying that the disciples that he was ministering to at that time and the people with him, that they would not fall into the what I call the filth of the world, but to keep themselves in the right relationship with God. That's what he's saying. You see, this world we live in has nothing to offer you but destruction, destruction, and destruction. Well, you say, well, preacher, you know, he said, I got everything I want in life. That's right, you got everything you want. But do you really have what you need? We need more Jesus, more prayer, more people coming together in God's house and bonding together, sharing the love of Jesus Christ in that relationship we talk about. He speaks it over and over and over again. In heaven he is. In heaven he reigns and rules. But see, Jesus had something in mind too when he came into the world. He had a great, great, I'm going to go back to this one more time, a great work to finish. You remember when he died on the cross? He said three things. It is finished. That was it. He was done. It was finished. He'd done his part here. But now he was going back to the Father to do what? To make intercession for you and for me every single day as we seek the Father in heaven and as he speaks to the Spirit that lives in us. That's the prayer life we have. Man, you think about it right now. You've got a Father that you can actually talk to that created this world. You have a Savior you can talk to, my friends, that died for your sins. And you have a Spirit that lives in you, which is the third person of the Trinity, which speaks between you and God, my friends, and Jesus Himself, that will deliver to you the message He has for you. The problem is we don't like to obey the message. We need to get to listening and obey. You listen, you'll do what He says. Hard problem is we don't like that, do we? I always liked it when the, who was it just passed away not too long ago? Had a couple of them. Had Aretha Franklin up there doing her thing. She passed away. Then you had a song that was sung. I did it my way. Let me tell you something. You can live your life any way you want, but without Christ, it's a wasted life. Hear me? You can live it any way you want. Without Christ, it is a wasted life because He is going to be your judge when you stand before Him. And how is He going to judge you? How is He going to look at you? What's He going to say to you when you get to the gate of heaven? I thought it was interesting this morning we were talking in Sunday school and Roddy made a comment. He said, yeah, when I got a lot of questions for Him. I think it was Warren. Somebody said, I ain't going to say a word. If He lets me in, I'm not going to say nothing. Yeah. Let me get through the gate first. Let me get through the gate first and I'll say something, right? Well, the fact is this, yeah, we may have a lot of questions in mind, but the Bible says that when you get there, you will know all things as He does. Well, He'll answer all your questions before you get through the gate. You'll be smarter than you've been before. But until you get there, seek God in prayer. Seek God every day. Spend time with Him every single day. See, it's a great gift He's given to us that we can pray and seek His face as we should. Turn your Bibles to John, just back a few pages to chapter 14. Look at verse 6 through 11 very quickly. And I'm going to close out right here this morning. Because I want to show you something. We know what Jesus said. He said, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You know, and my Father's Son in mansion. Well, when he got to verse 6, he really laid it out for us. And he said it very plain. I'm going to read it to you because I'm not just going to paraphrase anything. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if you haven't ever really understood that, it means this. If you don't know the way, if you don't have God's truth, then there will be no life for you. Bottom line, you won't get to heaven like you think you are. That's what he said. I've had people tell me when I preach a sermon for a funeral, I'd appreciate it if he wouldn't put that part in there. I've had them tell me that. Let me tell you something. I'm not concerned about the person that's dead. I'm concerned about those that are in front of me that are still living. You understand that? Their time is done. Yeah, we say a few good things about him. That was a good person. He did this, he did that, they went to church, they did whatever, you know. Well, somebody asked one time, what do you do for a person that you know in your heart that he died and went to hell? I said, I don't know that. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. You have no clue where they're at, you know. But I can tell you this. I know what's sitting in front of me in a service when I look out at them, and I see those with those sad faces out there, and I think to myself, how many of you know Christ? You know? They've gone on. They're not coming back. But what about you? What about your life? Who do you pray for? You better pray for the ones that are sitting in the pew. Because if you take your last breath, that's it for you. Your life is over. It's done. And you pray for those that are still around. And ask for God to intercede. See, we forget that, don't we? See, we live in a day and time where people don't even think about that anymore. But he said it very plainly. He said in verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. He says this. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. Really? Yeah, because we're the same person. And boy, what the Pharisees, boy, they went berserk on him. You mean to tell me that you're calling yourself God? In so many words, he was just telling them, yeah, I am, you know. I am the I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the open door. I am the way, truth, and life. I am the good shepherd. Where did all the I ams come from? Go back to Exodus and study it. Because it said when Moses was on the mountain, and he said, who's going to tell going to set that sent me down here? And he said, you tell the I am sent you. And ever since then, it's been the I am. He's the only I am of the Bible. And then he went on to say this. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father that it suffice us. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how what sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if he wasn't blind, there's something wrong with him. He's blind. Walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, and he still said the same thing. Show us the Father. What else did he have to do? Cartwheels? He raised the dead. He healed the lame. The blind could see again. Where'd all that come from? From the Father that indwells him too. Let me tell you what. People are blind today. People don't see today. People don't care today about what's coming in the future. Now, we're going to get all ready this week for this hurricane that's coming up, and I don't blame you, you need to. Prepare yourself, right? Well, if you're going to prepare everything, put everything away for a hurricane, you better prepare yourself one day to meet your Maker. Because you're going to stand before Him. And if you're not prepared, it's going to be just like a storm that comes. It's just going to blow you away. And you won't be standing in the gates. You'll be dropped to the portals of hell like a hot rock, let me tell you. And the Bible is very plain on that. I think sometimes we need to study just a little bit more about hell and what's going on. Do you know His name? His name is Jesus. And then last of all, He said, believest thou not that I am in what the Father? The Father is in me. He said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not by myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, He says. Believe me that I am in the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake, He said. In other words, if you don't believe, look at what I've done since I've been here. You know, isn't that plain? Look at what I've done since I've been here. He said, I've worked, I've told, I've done all these things. I've tried to teach you the right way. I've tried to lead you the right way. And you're still blinded by the world around you. So what did Jesus really do in all that text? He manifested and glorified the name of His heavenly Father, God Almighty. Through His prayer life, He did that. And today, we need to understand that we, too, need to be in that reverence of mindset of prayer. Because the Bible always tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, somebody said, well, how do you do that? I see just in a reverence of it at all times. You can stop anytime, any place, anywhere. You can ride down the road in your car and you can still pray. Don't close your eyes, okay? That's what you do. But you can pray. A thought comes across you that's not right, pray. Ask God to deliver you from that. I'm going to tell you what, our minds will roam. Our minds will travel everywhere in every direction. That's why we need to be able to pray and seek God to manifest His name, it says. So my question to you is this morning. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you belong to God Almighty? Does God's Spirit indwell you? Are you a Christian? Are you a born-again believer? Have you prayed and asked the Heavenly Father to come into your heart through the Spirit that indwells us to make your life what it should be? It's a simple thing. It's not hard. We have to get away from our stubborn self and be willing to admit who we are. See, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I know that. And I know that being saved by His grace, my friends, even in His fleshly body, I still can sin against God. Because my mentality is just like everybody else's. Fleshly body. A mind that thinks of things they shouldn't. A life that you try to keep straight when the devil's throwing stuff at you. It's hard to do. But let me tell you what. By the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can overcome anything that Satan will throw at you because we are a born-again believer who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we will seek Him in prayer as we should. Pray daily. Look to Him daily. And lift Him up daily. Let's pray.